So we're holding Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, beginning in the new Perek. We're now up to the ninth Perek of Yevamos. In a certain sense, even though Yevamos contains 16 Perakim, which means that we're only halfway through the Masechta, we're kind of through the bulk of the discussion about Yibum. So our Perek is going to be talking about Dinim, is going to be talking about various dinim of Yibum that we haven't really dealt with so far. And our first mission over here, or series of Mishnayos, is going to deal with the with a summary of some of the dinim of Yibum that we've learned so far. After that, the rest of the Masechta is going to sporadically talk about Yibum here and there, but mostly you're going to have, there's a parak that talks about the dinim of Chalitza, but as far as the dinim of Yibum, for the most part, at this point, we're done, and we're only going to be talking about it sporadically from here on out. Which Tosfos says, that's why. So our Mishnah is going to summarize some of the dinim of Yibum that we've learned so far. Tosfos says Mishnayos will often do that. It'll teach us various individual dinim, and then at the end, it'll give us a summary which helps fix it in our brains better. So the Mishnah says, Yesh mutaris v'alayhen v'asuras liyivmehen. There are some women, when it comes to Yibum, who are mutar to their husband. They were perfectly allowed to marry their husbands, but they're also to their Yivamim. And therefore, now, we're not talking about also, for example, where there's a chiyuv karis or something. Then we already learned at the beginning of the Masechta that then they're potter from Yibum or Chalitza. We're talking about over here where there's an isur lav preventing them from marrying the Yavam. We're there, as the Gemara is going to say over here, that we don't say in this case, therefore they can't do Yibum, instead they have to do Chalitza. Vice versa. You have cases where the woman is mutter to the Yavama, but she was also to her husband. In other words, she shouldn't have married her husband to begin with, but now that they did get married, then her husband died. Now, when it comes to Yibum, there's nothing preventing her from doing Yibum with the Yavam. In fact, Tosfos says that's another reason. So Tosfos gives two reasons what this Mishnah is doing here. One is what we just said, that the Tana sometimes will do that after having given us a bunch of individual details, then he summarizes them all in a handy way so that we can more easily remember them. The other reason Tosfos says is this particular part is the Chiddush. You would think that after all, the husband shouldn't have married her in the first place. And other Rishonim add, after all, the whole purpose of Yibum is Lahokim Zera, is Lahokim Shem Lachiv, to reestablish the brother's name, to have children who, in a certain sense, will be considered like the children of the brother who passed away. In this case, where they weren't supposed to be married in the first place, and they weren't supposed to be having children together, you would think there's no need for that. And therefore, it's a Chiddush that, of the Mishnah, that nevertheless, they still do Yibum. Then you have, the Mishnah continues, mutaris la'elu la'elu. Then you have women who are mutar to both the husband and the yavam. And vasuris la'elu la'elu. And then you have ones that were also to the first husband and are now also to the yavama as well. So let's go through. Ve'elu mutaris la'elu vasuris la'elu. Which ones are mutar to their husband, but now they're also to the Yavam, again, not with an Isu Karis, but just with an Isu Lav, and therefore the result is, now, the fact that there's an Isu Lav doesn't prevent there from being a Zika. There's still a Zika, there's still a necessity for something in order for her to be able to marry out, therefore she's going to need Chalitza, not Yibum. Now, we said a few times in the Masechta, the concept, Kol She'ena Oyla LeYibum, Eina Oyla LeChalitza, but we said that whenever there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza is needed either, but we said that applies only in certain specific cases. This is not one of them, because again, Kiddushin are Toifis over here, because it's only an Israelite. So the Elam Mutaris Lavalein Vasuris Liyivmehen. So examples of ones where they're mutter to their original husband, but they're also to the Yavam, and therefore Chalitza has to be done, not Yibum, would be, for example, Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hediyat Shenasa Es Almana. Suppose that a regular Kohen marries an Almana, the Yeshlet Och Kohen Gadol. Now he dies and he leaves behind a brother who's a Kohen Gadol. So now she was mutter to the original husband, because the original husband was a Kohen Hediyat. Kohen Hediyat is allowed to marry an almana. But now when he dies, then his brother, the Kohen Gadol, supposing that the only brother left is the brother of Kohen Gadol, he can't do Yibum with her because she's an Almana, and a Kohen Gadol can't marry an Almana, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta. The Gemara is going to ask, by the way, why we need that. I mean, just the fact that she was married to the first brother automatically makes her the other Almana. Why do we need to draw out the scenario where she was an Almana when the first Kohen married her? But in any case, we'll see that in the Gemara. But the point is that now, so she was perfectly mutter to her first husband, a Kohen Gadol was allowed to marry an Almana, but she's also to the Yavam because he's a Kohen Gadol, therefore he's going to need to do Chalitza with her. Actually, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin discusses that in the case of a Kohen Gadol, you have there's more specific rules about Chalitza and Yibum. Actually, no, what it says over there is he can do Chalitza, he just can't do Yibum because then he can't marry an Almana. But yeah. Another example of Mutaris Lavale and Vasuris Livmehen is Cholol Shenosek Shena. Suppose that you have two brothers, a Cholol and a regular Kohen, which you could have easily enough. Imagine, for example, that their father had two wives, one of whom is kosher and the other who is posel, or you could have even that the same woman herself had two sons, but she became posel in between. Whatever the case, so you have one brother as a cholol, married a ksheira, which, as we're going to say in the Gemara, is perfectly fine. A kohen is not allowed to marry a cholola, but the flip side is not true. A kohenes, a bas kohen, is allowed to marry a cholol, so therefore that was motoris levalein. The yeshle och kosher, but now he dies and he has a brother who's a kosher kohen, so he can't do yibum with her because once she had relations with her husband the cholol, it makes her a cholola. This is an example, by the way, where a person can be a cholola even though the bia itself was not osur. She's perfectly allowed to marry the cholol, yet she becomes a cholola from it. A third example, Yisrael Shenasa Bas Yisrael, a regular Yisrael married a regular Bas Yisrael, Yeshle Och Mamzer, and he has a brother who's a Mamzer, where that Mamzer is not allowed to marry the Bas Yisrael. So again, though, since if he were to, then Kedushin would be Tofes. His brother's a Mamzer from the same father, obviously, yeah, because it has to be in order for there to be Chalitza or Yibum, it has to be that we're talking from the same father. But yeah, again, you could have the example where the father had relations, where the father had a regular wife, and then he had another woman that he was not supposed to have relations with, and then he had a child with her. Or you could even have, it's the same woman, again, you can have, let's say she was his wife before, and then imagine, for example, she got divorced, married some, no, Machzir Rusha say not, actually, because if he remarried her, then it's only an Issur Lav, and we said it's only an Issur Lav for him to remarry her after she married somebody else. No, but let's say, for example, imagine that Esav was married to her, then she got divorced, married Yaakov. And now, while she's married to Yaakov, then Esav has relations with her, then she's an Eishes Ish. Any child that he has with her is going to be a mamzer, but on the other hand, he also previously has a son with her when he was married to her. So then you can have two brothers that have the same father, they have the same father, Esav. Right, he just has just a mazana with her, right. Right. I mean, by definition, obviously, to produce a mamzer, you can't have marriage, because today that's the case where Kedushin aren't choices. But yeah, so let's say you have two brothers, one a kosher and one a mamzer, then again, so if the kosher was married to a ksheira, and now the surviving brother is a mamzer, so again, same thing, then she's mutter to her original husband, but she's also to the mamzer, therefore the mamzer is going to have to do chalitza with her.
It could be everything is kosher. She gets married, she thinks she gets a bad.
We're going to talk about that in the next parak. Actually, we're going to get extensively into that case where a woman remarries thinking that her husband is dead. So we'll get back to that. Yeah. Okay. And a fourth case, mamzer shenasa mamzeres, vice versa, a mamzer marries a mamzeres, which is allowed to do, v'yeshle och Yisrael, and his surviving brother is a regular Yisrael, where again, a regular Yisrael can't marry a mamzeres. So those are mutaris levalein v'asuris levmehen. So those four cases, they're mutar to their husbands, to their original husbands, but they're also to their yavam. However, it's not an isur koris or misas vestin, it's only an isur lav, if they were to be over and do yibum, then it would take effect. Therefore, there is a zika, therefore they have to do chalitza.
Is there any time when there's not a zika and you don't even need chalitza?
Yes, many times. That's what we had at the beginning of the Masechta, for example, Chamesh Esrei Noshim, poetry started saying. Yeah, remember. That's what the Meiri explained at the beginning of our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is focused, and we're going to see in the Gemara, that our Mishnah is focusing specifically on Isurei Loisese, where there's only an Eset, where there's only a Loisese involved, nothing more serious than that. Next.
Like when it's going to be the man's daughter.
When it's the man's daughter, right. When, for example, Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter, then we had at the beginning of the Sefer, Poitra was sort of saying, not only the daughter needs no chalitza or yibum, because again, the zika would be with her father, and there's no such zika, even her tzara is potter, and even tzara, and so on and so forth, yeah. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Then the examples of the ones the other way around, where they're mutter to the Yavama, but they were also to their husband. And again, Tosfos says that's one reason why the Mishnah gives all these scenarios, is because this Bava of the Mishnah, this section, is the real Chiddush. Even though they were also to their husbands, so you would say, why are we trying to reestablish the brother's name when he married her Be'isr in the first place? Nevertheless, the fact is, since it was a marriage that can be recognized, the halacha, in the sense that Kiddush and Ar Tofus, and the children from it are not mamzerim, then there still is a requirement of chalitza or yibum. In that case, for Pashtus, the Yavam could even do yibum with her, because after all, she is completely mutter to him. So those examples would be, Kohen Gadol Shekiddush as Almana. So let's say a Kohen Gadol was Makadish and Almana, which he's not allowed to do. So let's say he didn't even have relations with her yet. But Kohen Hedyot, he has a brother who's a Kohen Hedyot. Now, the Gemara is going to explain, if the Kohen Gadol had married the Almana, before we use the expression Shenosa, in all the first four cases, we use the expression Shenosa. Now here, if the Kohen Gadol were to fully marry this woman and have relations with her, then in fact he would make her a halala, then a regular Kohen wouldn't be allowed to marry her either. But because he didn't have relations with her, he was only Makadish her, so now she's an Almana. Okay, she's an Almana twice over now, because from her first husband and from the Kohen Gadol. Fine, that doesn't prevent his brother, the Kohen Hedyot, from marrying her in Yibum, because after all, a regular Kohen is allowed to marry an Almana. There is, by the way, a point that we've touched on earlier in the Sech, that the Chacham Tzvi discusses the question about, does the issue of katlonis, where a woman's husband has passed away, do we say that applies in the case of Yibum? In other words, that if a woman has had two husbands pass away, then maybe the same way as we say she shouldn't regularly get married to a third husband, because it might be that the same thing's going to happen to him. We talked about it before in Daf Samach Dalad. So does that apply also by Yibum? Now, our Mishnah is telling us a case where it does, where nevertheless they do Yibum. On the other hand, we did say in the Gemara over there that there are certain cases where the concept of kaflonis doesn't apply. So you could equally well say that our Mishnah is talking about one of those specific cases, and maybe not in the general example. Besides which, anyway, our Mishnah could just be talking about the fact is she's mutter from the point of view of the dinim of Yibum. You get into the question of katlonis, the Mishnah is not really addressing that point. Okay, anyway, the Mishnah continues. Another example, kosher shenosa halala. Suppose that a kohen kosher married a halala, which he wasn't allowed to do, v'yeshle och halal, now he dies without children, and he has a brother who's a halal, who's perfectly allowed to marry a halala. So that's another example where she's also to her husband, but mutter to the yavam. A third example, Yisrael shenosa mamzeres, V'yeshle och mamzer, Yisrael married a mamzeres, which he wasn't allowed to do, but he has a brother, he leaves behind a brother who's a mamzer, who can marry her. And the fourth example, mamzer, shenosa bas Yisrael, V'yeshle och Yisrael, a mamzer marries a bas Yisrael, he has a brother who's a regular Yisrael, all of those, mutaris the yivnein, v'asuris the ba'alehen, so all of those are mutar to the yavam, but they were also to the husband. The elu asuris la'elu la'elu. Then here are some examples where they're also to both of them. So they were also to marry the first husband, and now that the husband died, they're also to do yibum. So therefore, but nevertheless, there still is a zika, and therefore they're going to have to do chalitza. Kohen Gadol shenosa salmona. So now, suppose that a Kohen Gadol married an almona, meaning not just kiddushin like in the previous part, but nisuin, where now as soon as he has relations with her, having been mekadesh her, now he's mechal of her. V'yeshle och Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hedyot. Now he has a brother who's a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedyot. Regardless whether his brother is a Kohen Gadol, who would be also to her on multiple grounds because she's an almona and she's a halala, or just a regular Kohen who's also to her only on the grounds that she's a halala, either way, he can't do Yibum with her because of that. Another example, Kohen Shenosach, Kosher Shenosach Halala. If a Kohen Kosher married a Halala, V'yeshle Och Kosher, and he has another brother who's a Kosher Kohen, so now, same problem. In other words, she's a Halala, therefore she's also to both of them. Yisrael Shenosach Mamzeres, V'yeshle Och Yisrael. Or Yisrael marries a Mamzeres, and he has a brother who's a regular Yisrael. Same problem. Or Mamzer Shenosach Bas Yisrael, V'yeshle Och Mamzer. And he has a brother who's a Mamzer. Asuris La'elu La'elu. So those are all the many examples where she's also to both of them. For those who are for those who still have the Mari Yavamis, there's a chart on page 92, chart 197, that summarizes these dinim that we just said. So those are any other woman is mutter to both the husband and the yavama. Now, not literally every other woman. The Gemara is going to point out actually that there are scenarios that our Mishnah left out, other examples of Yisurei Lavin that our Mishnah left out that we could have mentioned. But in other words, out the normal case is that a woman is mutter to her husband and also mutter to the yavama. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Shnius midivrei sofei. Now, we know that there's the concept of shmias. We learned earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Chof or thereabouts, that there are various women where the Torah would allow you to marry them, but midrabanan you can't. For example, min haTorah, a man's not allowed to marry his mother or his grandmother or his daughter or his granddaughter or to have relations with them. Midrabanan, it's also usur upward. Midrabanan, it's also usur upward one more generation. Or, for example, Midaraisa, he's not allowed to marry his daughter-in-law. Midarabanan, he's not allowed to marry his granddaughter-in-law, etc. There's no Malchus, there's Marcus Maritus for it. But now, suppose we have a case involving Shnias Midivere Sefer. So now, suppose Shnia Labal was Shnia LeYavam. Suppose that the woman was a Shnia to her original husband, but not to the Yavam. So let's take, for example, so Rashi gives an example. Let's say that these two brothers have different mothers. So one of them married, one of them married his mother's mother. So sorry, a mother's mother is Dirabanan. A mother would be Daraisa. A mother's mother is Dirabanan, is one of the Shmias. So we have two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, from different women. Reuben married his mother's mother, which he's also to do Midrabanan, but now he dies. That woman is now available to Shimon. She's not any kind of erva to him. She's not even a shniya to him. So then, asur labal and mutaris to yavam. Same thing. She's also to the husband, but she's mutar to the yavam. Shniya the yavam will a shniya labal, and vice versa. If she's a shniya to the yavam and not to the husband, so the other way around, where Reuben married Shimon's grandmother, let's say, so the same problem. So Reuben was perfectly allowed to, but if Reuben dies, then Shimon now has a zika with his own grandmother, where midrabanan, he can't marry her. So asur la yavam or teres la baal. So she was mutter to the husband, but she's also to the yavam. She's going to need chalitza. Shnia lazer lazer. If she's a shnia to both of them, asur. Let's say they had the same mother. Asur lazer lazer, and she's also to both of them. And in the case where she's a shnia, then the Mishnah digresses to talk about some dinim that apply as far as the normal benefits that she should have out of a marriage. Now, normally, a woman gets married, she has a ksuba, if you want scenarios drawn out of it here, shnia labal, not the yavam, and vice versa, then you have more diagrams over here that illustrate that. So now the Mishnah is going to talk about in general, if a man marries a shnia. Now, normally, a woman gets married, she has a ksuba, and she has various tnoi ksuba. There's various conditions, which we're going to learn about in Masech the Ksubas. The next Masech, after this one, we're going to talk about the various tnoi ksuba, the various sub-clauses, so to speak, of the ksuba, which the Chachamim set up. For example, many of them, you have a quid pro quo. You have that the husband is entitled to something from his wife. In return, he's chayev something to her. For example, we're going to talk about over here that normally he's entitled to peiros from her nichsim alug. So we learned earlier in the Masechta that she can have nichsim alug, property which she retains ownership of, but the husband is entitled to peiros of it. And the Chachamim set up, he's entitled to those peiros in return for that if she gets captured, if she gets taken prisoner by Goyim, then he's going to spend money to get her out of there. So you have various tnoi ksuba like that. We'll learn about them in ksubas in detail, Be'ez Hashem. So now we're going to talk about when the woman is a shnia and she was also to him derabbanon. Then these various tnoi ksuba do not apply, as we're going to see. We're also going to see in the Gemara, which we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, what would be the logic. Why now we didn't say that applies when they're also to him with an isur lav. So for example, we're not going to say that these things that we're saying over here that she forfeits are going to apply. For example, if she was if she was in the first case, let's say an almona that married to an almona married to a kohen gadol, let's say. But we are saying that if she's a shnia, we'll see in the Gemara, we'll see on daf behe, which we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, a couple of reasons why it should be so. So the Mishnah says ein lo lo ksuba. So in the case of a shnia who was married, she does not get ksuba. She's not entitled to the actual amount of the ksuba. Tosfos discusses elsewhere that maybe she is entitled and some of the Rishonim say maybe she is entitled to the Tosfos ksuba you often have. You know, there's a minimum amount of the ksuba, the 100 or 200 zuz respectively, and then you have, good morning, Melly, then you have the Tosfos ksuba, the amount that the husband may voluntarily decide to add. So the Tosfos ksuba she may be entitled to, but not the regular amount of the ksuba for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara. Veloy Peris, she's not entitled to Peris, meaning, in other words, so if he ends up taking Peris from her Nichsa Malug, he does not have to pay her back. Now, even though in this case you don't have that quid pro quo that we said, namely that if she gets captured by Goyim, then he's not responsible to free her, or at least he's not responsible more than any other yid. I mean, there's a mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim, but he doesn't have any particular mitzvah of it more than anybody else because he wasn't supposed to be married to her. Because Rashi explains, because the tnoi ksuba, the reason why she doesn't get a ksuba, are because the ksuba is all based on the fact that they're going to be married. But here they weren't supposed to be married because she's a shnia to him. So the ksuba doesn't apply, and neither does the tnoi ksuba. And one of the tnoi ksuba is that he's going to redeem her, he's going to free her if she gets captured by goyim, if she gets arrested. But here he's not responsible to, or at least not responsible more than anybody else. Nevertheless, if he takes the payless, then he's not responsible to pay her back. Because the Gemara is going to here in our perek, the Gemara is not really going to deal with in detail why she doesn't have any of these tnoi ksuba. The Gemara is going to deal with the question, why do we apply these in the case of shnias and not in the case of the Surei Lavim from earlier in our Mishnah? But the Gemara in our perek is not really going to deal with why she loses the ksuba and all the tnoi ksuba. That the Gemara is going to deal with more in the next perek, when we're going to talk about the next perek is going to begin talking about a case where a woman remarried where a woman thought her husband was dead and remarried without checking carefully, and then it turns out her husband is alive, then we apply all kinds of knosim to her, and among them are that she forfeits her ksuba and all her tnoi ksuba. So there the Gemara is going to discuss why indeed she forfeits all the tnoi ksuba. And the basic idea is going to be that tnoi ksuba, ksuba dummy, once she doesn't get the ksuba, then she doesn't get the tnoi ksuba either. They go hand in hand. Anyway, so the point is, therefore, so the chachamim penalize her that she's not getting the payrus, that she's not getting back the payrus that her husband ate, even though he shouldn't have eaten them, but if he did, then she doesn't have any recourse against it. Next, that's loy payrus. Loy mezonis, she's not entitled to mezonis from him, that normally a husband is obligated to support his wife. That one even is daraisa, sheir ksus va'oina. But we're going to learn in Ksuvus, Be'ez Hashem, that different opinions, whether she'er or oino, refers to food. But anyway, so he has a responsibility to support his wife, but he or not, because again, they're not supposed to be married in the first place, and the chachamim are going to force them to get divorced, so therefore she's not entitled to mezonos. Rashi explains, it means, first of all, it means that if they're still married, then she's not entitled to mezonos, because as soon as possible, we're going to force them to get divorced, and therefore during that time, she's not entitled to mezonos, because it's an illegal marriage in the first place. Rashi adds that even if, let's say, her husband went out of town, where normally the din would be that if she borrowed money from somebody, then in order to support herself. So let's say her husband left the house. Let's say the husband left her without any food, without any means of support. So now let's say she borrowed money from somebody to support herself. So now the din is when the husband comes back, he has to pay. But in this case, in this case, where there's shnius, where she's a shnius to him, then he's not responsible to pay back that loan. Then in other words, she's on the hook for it. Because again, they weren't supposed to be married in the first place. Rashi draws a distinction, by the way. The Gemara tells us near the end of Ksubas that if she didn't borrow money, if somebody voluntarily gave her money, then you have a machloikas in the Mishnah, between Admon, I think, and the Chachamim, whether the husband is responsible to pay back or not. And halacha is he's not, but that's where somebody else did it voluntarily. But if she borrowed money, then yes, the husband normally would be required to pay back, but here, because she was a shnia, then he's not. That's what it means that ain't lamazonis. Beloy blois, she's also not entitled to blois, which means, blois means worn out. So Rashi explains, let's say she brought in begodim, or other kinds of things, into the marriage, and now, over time, those are worn out. So she doesn't take them, so normally she would be entitled to take those back when the marriage is over, but here again, the Chachamim penalized her because the marriage shouldn't have been a marriage, and therefore she's not entitled to that. Now, there are actually two different kinds of blois. Sometimes when we talk about blois, the Tosfos talks about on Daf Pei Hei that there are actually two different kinds of blois when we talk about the dinim of Ksuba and Tnoi Ksuba and whatever. One is what Rashi is describing, where you have the object still exists, but it's worn out. The other kind of blois. Those kinds are usually called in halacha bloiseh kayyum, the blois that still exist. So Tosfos says later on Daf Pei Hei that not necessarily is that what we're talking about over here. We may actually be talking about only blois as in things that wore out and are gone. Where we're talking about as nichset zayin barzel, usually the husband would be required to reimburse her for them, because that's the rule. Nichset zayin barzel, the husband gets the reshus of that. He owns them, but he has to repay her. He has to compensate her for what they were worth, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. But here, those things, the nichset zayin barzel are gone. They got worn out. And they're gone, then he doesn't have to repay her for that. But Tosfos says later on, maybe Bloisa Kayamin, maybe she would be entitled to, unlike what Rashi is saying over here, because those actually still exist, the aid, they're just worn out. So, in any case, again, this Shnia, when the marriage is over, when her husband dies or divorces her, then she's not entitled to Blois, whichever kind of Blois, Rashi versus Tosfos. However, Vavlad Kosher, in all those cases, however, in this case, the Shnia, the child is kosher, even though they weren't allowed to get married, and the Shnias are Gzeira Drabanan, so that you don't end up marrying an Erva. Nevertheless, we don't make the children a Mamzer Drabanan, they're completely kosher. On the other hand, the Koyfen Oysalahitzi, we do force the husband to divorce her, because after all, they weren't supposed to be married in the first place, because she's a Shnia to him. On the other hand, the Mishnah continues, Amona l'Kohen Gadol, if a Kohen Gadol marries an Amona, Grusha v'chalutza l'Kohen Hadyet, or if a Kohen Hadyet marries a Grusha v'chalutza, or any other woman that he's also to, Mamzeres in the Sinner of Yisrael, or Yisrael marries a Mamzeres or in the Sinner, where he's also to, Bas Yisrael v'nosir on the Mamzer, all of them, Yesh l'hen k'suba, all of them are entitled to a k'suba, as we'll see in the Gemara. We'll learn tomorrow, Bas Hashem, a couple of reasons why that should be. Why would we say that the Shnias are more serious, which are only an Isur Dinabonon? Why are those more serious than these Isurei Lavin that we're talking about? So we'll see that in the Gemara tomorrow, Bas Hashem. Okay, so the Gemara starts. My Iriya Tani Nosa. In the first case of our Mishnah, we said that we said in the first section of the Mishnah about Mutoris the Valei and Rasudos the Yevneya. So we said, for example, a Kohen Hadyet marries an Almana, marries, in other words, implies that he has relations with her, and then he dies and leaves a brother, a Kohen Gadol. So we said the brother, the Kohen Gadol, is not able to do Yivam with her because she'd be also to him. So she was Mutter to the husband, but she's also to the Yavam, therefore he needs to do Chalitza with her. So my Iri Yatani Nosa. Why does the Mishnah have to mention that he married her? Listening Kiddush, it's enough for it to say that he was Makadish her. Because after all, just the fact that he's Makadish her already makes her Osir to his brother. Now, you're going to argue that maybe the reason why the Mishnah mentions Nasa is because then you have, an Eser and a Loisaseh, because after all, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, a Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah, he's a Loisaseh to not marry an Amana. He also has an Eser to marry a Basula. If his brother had relations with her, then she's not a Basula anymore. So now you'd say there's an Eser and a Loisaseh blocking the Yibum, and we know that the Eser of Yibum can't override the Eser and the Loisaseh. But you would say, Aval Kiddush Osi Eser. The Esther would be that a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Basula. The Loisa says he can't marry an Amana. So if she was married, fully married to his brother, then there's both. You could argue that if she was only Niskadish to his brother and they hadn't yet had relations, let's say she was an Amana also from Kiddushin, from her first husband, then you would say that Aval Kiddush, you would argue that if the brother was only Mekadisher, you could argue Osi Esther V'Docha Loisaseh, maybe the Esther of Yibum would override the Loisaseh. And therefore, maybe that's why the Mishnah doesn't say that. You can't say that, says the Gemara. V'hakula pirkin esa v'loisesehu. After all, the entire perek, or all these Mishnayos that we have over here, one after the other, are all talking about cases where there's an isur loiseseh. And against it, you have the isur of, and against it, you have the mitzvah of esa of Yibum. And yet the Esser doesn't override the Loisaseh. So Rashi explains, for example, let's say we have later in the Mishnah, a Mamzeres was married to a Yisrael, or a Halala was married to a Kohen, where those are only an Isulat. So Tosfos points out that actually in the case of a Kohen, you do also have an Isur Esser, because you also have Kedoshim Yulei Lekeim, which is an Esser that they have to marry who they're supposed to. So Tosfos says, okay, let's stick with the Mamzeres, for example. You have several places throughout our Mishnah where it mentions a Mamzer marrying a Bas Yisrael, a Bas Yisrael marrying a Mamzeres, whatever, where there's only an Isur Lab, there's no Isur Esser, there's no Esser, and yet we say that the Esser of Yibum is not doing for the Lois Esser of, is not doing for the Lois Esser of Mamzeres. What were you going to say? It's certainly possible that Rashi and Tosfos count the mitzvahs differently. I'm pretty sure that it says elsewhere that there's some place where it says that Kedoshim Yulei Lekeim is a mitzvah saseh, so therefore they can't necessarily be arguing on that. But anyway, maybe. Anyway, the point is that we see that over here the essay is not doicha the lois essay. Now, an interesting point, by the way, is that actually earlier in the Masechta, when we talked about this, we said that actually on a Daraisa level, it might be good for the Loisaseh. However, we said, Drabbanon, we don't allow it to, because we said, first of all, the main reason we said, Zera Bia Shnia Otu Bia Rishona. Because we said, if we allow him to do the first Bia, which with that he's accomplishing the Mitzvah of Yibum, he may come to do a second Bia, where there he's not accomplishing the Mitzvah of Yibum anymore, and he's being over on the Loisaseh. Because every time Yisrael has relations with a Mamzeres or any of these other cases, then they're over on the Loisaseh. So from that Gemara, it comes out that the Isser is only Drabbanon. Rashi's phrasing over here, and the Gemara's phrasing, seems to imply that we're dealing with it because of the issue of Esser v'Loisaseh. In other words, we're talking that on a Daraisa level, we would say that the Esser is not good for the Loisaseh. So we'll go further on in the Gemara. We're going to talk about that, and further on in the Gemara, we're going to touch on something that relates to that. We're going to talk about a question that Tosfos has on a later stage of the Gemara, which are the Keren Ora explains that the Tosfos' question, that Rashi is also bothered by the question, and therefore that's how, and therefore that leads him to say that we're talking about, that here we're talking about the, on the level where there's an Isur Daraisa. Because in other words, forget about the fact that Bia Shnia, just the Bia Rishona alone, you would say that in this case the Eser is not good for the Lois Eser, because after all, another reason the Gemara points out over there is because there's another way of accomplishing the Eser, namely to do Chalitza. Then you're also accomplishing the Eser without being over on the Lois Eser. Okay, so anyway, so the question is, why does the Mishnah in the first part have to mention Nasa rather than Kiddush? And Tosfos points out, by the way, now usually the Gemara wouldn't bother with that kind of deal, but here, since in the middle of the Mishnah, in the case of Motoris the Man, Basuris Valayan, the first case we had was Kohen Gadol Kiddush as Almana, so the Gemara is wondering why over there it says Kiddush, whereas in the first part, why does it use Nasa? Anyway, so the Gemara says, Mishum de Kaboy Lemisti, Sefer Kohen Gadol, Shenasa as Almana. The reason is because in the Sefer, in the third section of the Mishnah, when we talk about the ones who are also to both, there it has to say a Kohen Gadol shenosa samana and dafka nosa v'shavya chalala, and there it has to be nosa because thereby, by having relations with her, he makes la chalala. Aval kiddush shavya, had the Kohen Gadol only been mekadosh to samana, yes, he was also to be mekadosh her, but if he dies at that point, then there's no issur on his brother to marry her. She's not yet a chalala until they actually have relations. So there it had to use the word nasa.
Wow.
Therefore, tananam yureisha nasa. So therefore, in the reisha also it uses the word nasa. So the Gemara says, so what's the logic? Ba'ad tani v'shum sefer listing v'shum mitziyasa. On the other hand, if you're saying that in the reisha it could have gone either way, and you're saying in the sefer it has to say nasa, but on the other hand, you could say then why don't you stick to the format of the mitziyasa, of the middle part of the middle part of the Mishnah where it started kohen gadol shekiddush hasamana v'yesh le'och kohen hadyu. Where there again necessarily where there it has to definitely be kiddush. So what's the logic that you would say that the reisha follows the Sefer, let the Reisha follow the Mitziyasa, the middle clause of the Mishnah, about Asuris Levalein, about Mutoris Levnein, about Asuris Levalein, where there it starts out with the Shekiddush, and then the first part of the Mishnah could use Shekiddush to go with that. Elamishum Bas Buksa. So no, the reason is not because we're looking all the way ahead to the Sefer, but rather because we look at its partner in the beginning of the Mishnah. In other words, usually we talk about this Reisha, Mitziyasa, and Sefer, the beginning, the end, and the middle of the Mishnah. But here, within each one of those, we have several cases. Within the Reisha, we have four cases. So the Gemara nicknames the other cases in the first section. The Gemara nicknames them Bas Buksa. Which essentially means it's neighbor. In a certain sense, it might be. I didn't actually see an explanation of why it's called Bas Buksa, but there is a word in the Gemara elsewhere where it talks about in the genome of Trefus, for example. You have Buka de Atma. You have the joint of the thigh that gets dislocated in an animal. Where there you have a ball and socket joint where the end of the thigh bone fits into a hollow in the animal's pelvis over there. So there you have. In other words, those two things are always meant to go together. The hip joint is always meant to stay together. So maybe in that sense, the Gemara is calling like two things that stick together. Bas buksa, like this is the ball to that one's joint. They go together. Anyway, the point is the second case of within the reisha itself. After we talk about kohen gadol shenasa samana, further on the next one we talk about is cholol shenasa kshera. Where again, time of the Nasa, we're there. What would make her also to his brother, the Kohen, only if he actually married her and had relations with her? Because then the Shavya Chalala, the first time he has relations with her, he makes her a Chalala. Avokidish Shavya, but had the Chalala only been the Kaddish her, then she would be Mutter to his brother, because she's not yet a Chalala. Mishamachik, Katoni Nasa, that is why. So already in the second out of the 12 cases in our Mishnah, in the second subsection of the first part, it has to use the word, Rashi said that Bas Buksa means the adjoining halacha. Rashi says Shmuya Batsida. I'm explaining why such a thing would be called Bas Buksa.
Right, right.
Anyway, so right there, the second case within the Reisha, which is attached to the first part, it has to say Cholol Shenasa Kshera. It can't say Cholol Shekiddush Kshera, because in fact Kiddush would be wrong. If he's Mekadosh her, then there's no problem of his brother the Kohen marrying her. Mishmachik, Katoni Nasa, that is why in that case it had to say Nasa, and therefore to keep things parallel, in the first case of the Reisha, it also used the word Shenasa, even though it's true the same din would apply even if he was on the Mekadosh. Okay, now the Gemara asks, to my area to Katoni Almana. Now, in the first case of the Mishnah, the case was that the Kohen Kedyat married an Almana, and now we said his brother is a Kohen Gadol. So we said the Kohen Gadol can't do even with her because she's an Almana. But why do we need to mention Amana? Listening to Basula, could be talking about where she was a Basula when they got married to begin with. Because after all, she's still an Amana now, whether from Kiddushin or whether from Nisuin, she's an Amana, and a Kohen Gadol can't marry an Amana. So it doesn't matter what her status was when the first brother married her. Either way, now she's an Amana. By definition, in order for there to be Yibum, she has to be an Amana. So listening to Basula. So the Mishnah could just as well have said, where a Kohen had yet married a Basula. But now he has a brother, a Kohen Gadol, and therefore she's an Almana. So you're going to answer that maybe our Tana holds that you look at her status when she was first married. In other words, we learned about this concept of Nisurin and Rishonim Makpilim. We said, we had two different opinions. We said, when we look at the status as far as Yibum or Chalitza, do we focus on what the status was? Do we focus on how things were during her first marriage, or do we focus on how things were when her first husband died? Now, in our case, when the brother married her, if we say Nisurin and Rishonim Mapilim, then she should be mutter in Yibum to the Kohen Gadol, because after all, at the time she was a Besula, and the Kohen Gadol was allowed to marry a Besula. On the other hand, if we say that Nisa Mapelas, if we're going to say we focus on the status when the first husband died, at that point she's an Amona. So if you're going to say that, you're going to say that therefore the Tana might hold Nisurin and Rishonim Mapilim, and therefore we have to draw out a scenario where she was also to begin with, she was already also to the Kohen Gadol when the first brother married her, because she was an Amona. The problem with that is Hare Chol Shenasa Ksheira. On the other hand, again, Mishnah had talked about a case where a Cholol marries a Ksheira, and he said that the brother who's a Kosher Kohen can't do Yibum with her because now once she and the Cholol had relations, she becomes a Cholola. V'loya min Nisurin or Shonim Apilim. Now we don't say that we follow Nisurin or Shonim Apilim. Because again, if the cholo was only makadish her, then he said she's not also to his brother the Kohen, only when he marries her. If we were to say Nisurin or Shonim Apilim, then by that logic also she would be mutter to the next brother the Kohen. So again, the question is, why is it saying that the Kohen had yet married an Amona? Now Tosfos wonders about that. The whole Nisurin or Shonim Apilim that we discussed earlier in the Masechta was where Nisurin Mashonim Apilim, where that would create a Chumrah. For example, we had the case, for example, earlier in the Masechta, where, for example, the husband married her, so one of the brothers had married her, then what did we have over there? We had a case over there where there's two or more brothers. There's several brothers, let's say. So we said that one of them, one of them divorced his wife. Then the other one, what did we have over there? You had a few brothers over there. One of them was married to an unrelated woman. The other ones were related to sisters. So let's say, for example, the one who's married to the unrelated woman, let's say he married her, then divorced her, then he died. So now at the time of Nefila, she's not a tzara. But nevertheless, we would say, if we said Nisurin or Rishonim Apilim, then we would say that at the time, earlier when she was married, then she was a tzara of an erva. Because we had the example over there where one of the brothers who was married to one of the sisters died, and then the brother who was married to an unrelated woman did give him with her. Then we said that his wife is a tzaras erva, and therefore that now if he dies, then that wife doesn't do yibum with the other brother because she's a tzaras erva. And so we said that even if he divorced her, nevertheless we would say nisurin or rishonim apilim, the fact that at one point she was a tzaras erva means that there's no yibum. So Tosfos says, so there we say nisurin or rishonim apilim when it's b'chumra. We would never find it Lakula over here. We would say because she was mutter to begin with, because she was mutter to the Kohen Gadol to begin with when she first did Kiddushin with the other brother, then therefore she should remain mutter afterwards. It doesn't work that way. So Tosfos says, okay, anyway, the Gemara is anyway going to point out that the Gemara is anyway answering that there's a the Gemara is anyway bringing the question from Chol Shanasa Treira. So obviously we can't hold Nisurin Rishon Makpilim anyway. But here's where the Karen Ura says that Rashi was also bothered by this question, and that was why earlier Rashi explained that we're talking about on a Daraisa level, the fact that Esther is not Dor Chalos Esther, because if it was just a matter of the reasons that we said, because Chalitza is possible instead of Yibum, or because with Gozer, be a Shnia, or to be a Rishona, then all of them, then none of those wouldn't necessarily apply in this case, and nevertheless, we still say it's also showing, therefore, that it must be that there's an issue Daraisa, of that in this case, we don't allow the Esther of Yibum to be Dor Chalos Esther of a Mamzer, or an Almona, a Kohen Gadol, etc. Anyway, so the Gemara says, so again, the question is then, why in the beginning of the Mishnah do we have to draw out the scenario where the Kohen Hedyot married an Almona, where she was already an Almona when he married her, when the fact is, even if she was a Basula at the time, the fact that he had relations with her passes her from his brother, the Kohen Gadol, because she's not a Basula anymore, and therefore we should just mention that case. So the answer is, Havadim is from Seifa. There's no question. We have to use the word almana in order to be parallel with the sefer mishum b'kaboy. The mishnah sefer kohen gadol should not say almana, because in the sefer of the mishnah we say a kohen gadol who marries an almana, v'yeshle och kohen gadol a kohen hadyet, whereas a brother is a kohen gadol or a kohen hadyet, we're davka almana, and there again that scenario requires her to have been an almana in the first place. Out of the sula chazulei. Had she been a basula, then she would be, then after all, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry her. So therefore, so fine, she'd be also to his brother, a Kohen Gadol, because she's not a basula anymore after he had Nisuin with her, but she'd be mutter to a Kohen Hedyot, and the Mishnah wanted to delineate for us a case which is also to his brother as well, even though his brother is a Kohen Hedyot. That requires her to have been, that requires her to become a Halala, and for her to become a Halala means she had to be an Amona when the Kohen Gadol married her. Mishmachi, Katani Amma, Basula Chazile, had she been a Basula, she would have been suitable for the Kohen Gadol, and now the Kohen Gadol marrying her and have relations with her wouldn't make her a Halala. She would be mutter to a Kohen Hedyot afterwards, because she's not a Halala, and the fact that she's an Amona doesn't matter, a regular Kohen can marry an Amona. Mishmachi, Katani Amona. Therefore, in the Sefer, it had to say Amona, and therefore in the Reisha, it also mentioned Amona to keep parallelism with it. But you're right, in the Reisha, it could just as well have mentioned that the original Kohen Hedyot married a Basula, and the same rule would apply because she's a Basula, then because even though she was a Basula at the time, since afterwards there was Nisuin, and now she's not a Basula, then she's also to the Yavam, the Kohen Gadol. So now the Gemara starts, the next piece of Gemara starts off kind of in an odd way. The Gemara begins, Maski Flora Papa, that a Papa is challenging that. Now usually that would be a continuation of the previous discussion. Here, Rabbeinu Avraham Min Ahor points out, in a certain sense, it's a new discussion. It's just going to relate back to it's going to relate back to our Mishnah. So Maski Flora Papa. So the Papa challenges as follows. Now, we learned in the previous parak about the dinim, about a mitzvi and an adoni ger are restricted whom among the Jewish people they're allowed to marry for a couple of generations. We said the first two generations are only allowed, are restricted in who they can marry. The third one can marry a bas yisrael. The third one are mutter lo v'vakov. So now we discussed in the previous parak the question of what happens if a mitzvi and a mitzvis of different generations get married. So we said that Rav Dini had said over there that you go according to her. So you said that if a second generation mitzvi ger marries a first generation mitzvi giyoras, then the child is considered a sheni rather than a shlishi. Even though his father is a sheni, that should make him a shlishi, but his mother is a rishona, that makes him a shnia. So now maskis or a papa. So now the papa challenges im isa laha dechi asir Rav Dini amar Rav Yechon. If it's correct, if the halacha is like what Rav Dini said when he came from Eretz Yisrael, that he said in the name of Rav Yechon, Mitzvi Sheni Shenosa Mitzvi Shoshona, but not Sheni Abi, that if a Mitzvi Sheni marries a Mitzvi Shoshona, the child is going to be considered a Mitzvi Sheni, and therefore he himself is still also Lavi Makahol, only his children will be, well then, Lisni Nami, then the Mishnah could have given us another example of a woman who is mutter to the husband and also to the Yavam, or vice versa, or also to both of them, etc. The Mishnah could have told us a Lisni Nami Mitzri Sheni should also Shtei Mitzvias. Imagine you have a Mitzri Sheni married two different Mitzvias Yeris. One was a first generation mitzvah, the other one was a second generation. So here we also have more diagrams to illustrate this. We have in Mari Yavamis on page 94, we have three diagrams to illustrate the different phases of what we're talking about over here in the Gemara. So first of all, the first diagram, 200, illustrates the basic din that Rav Dimi had said. That if you have a mitzvah sheni, so you have Rishon in the diagram over there, a mitzvah who became a ger, he has a son who's a sheni, but that sheni marries a Rishonah. The din is that ben, that son we're saying is considered a sheni, just like his father. Even though his father was a sheni, but he's also a sheni because his mother was a Rishonah. So now, Rav Papa is saying, consider it like this. Imagine that you have a mitzvah sheni, marries two different women. One is a Rishonah, one is a Shniah. Now he has children with each one of them. So now, respectively, those children are the one from the Rishonah is a Sheni, the one from the Shniya is a Shlichi, and those two have the same father. So now consider. So now let's consider. If they married the way they're supposed to, meaning that if the Shlichi, who's already mutter to marry a Bas Yisrael, actually married a Bas Yisrael, and the Sheni, who's still also in a Bas Yisrael, married a Shnia, then you have an example, Motoris Levale and Basiris Levan. Then you have an example. So, for example, the Sheni's wife, the Shnia, is mutter to her husband, because he was a Sheni, but he's also to the Shlishi, because the Shlishi already is Yavin Le Vital Hashem, he's considered like a regular Yid, and therefore he's also to marry a Mitzvah Shnia. And vice versa, the Sheni is also to marry a Israelis, because he's still a Sheni. So there you have an example where they're mutter to their husband, to their respective husband, but they're also to their Yavamas. Tosfos actually discusses maybe not necessarily, maybe not both of them are also to the each other, because we discussed in the previous perek the question, Kahal Gerim Ikri Kahal or Loy Ikri Kahal, do we say that Gerim are considered part of Kahal Hashem? If we say that they're not, now halacha is that they're not, then the Shlishi might be able to marry the Shnia, but the Sheni would not be able to marry the Israelis. But at least you have one example where the Israelis is also to marry the Sheni, but she was mutter to marry the Shlishi. So there you have an example. She was mutter to her husband, but also to her Yavam. So Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of that. But anyway.
This is the girl.
Yeah.
And she can marry who?
So she was, so we're talking Israelis was married to the Shlishi. Now, he has a brother who's a Sheni. He has a brother. This is a Mitzri Shlishi. This is a Mitzri Sheni. Yeah. Yeah. So.
That's this girl.
Yeah.
Okay. And their brother.
They're brothers. So now, if the Shlishi dies. So now, if the Shlishi dies, the Sheni can't do Yibum with the Israelis because he's a Sheni. He can't marry the Israelis. So if we said not like Rav Dimi, if we said that we go according to the father, then you never have an example where a man's two sons could be a Sheni or a Shlishi. So you would never have such a scenario in the first place. But if you follow Rav Dimi that you go according to the mother, and therefore you can have two brothers, two paternal brothers, one of whom is a Sheni and one of whom has a Shlishi, then don't you have such an example? Further, continues her papa, the E Epoch Menasiv, what happens if they flipped around and each one married a woman who's also to him? So vice versa, the next diagram. The Mitzri Shlishi married a Mitzri Shnia, which he's also to. Okay, Tosfos says again, maybe he's not necessarily also to, but let's focus on the Sheni married Israelis, where he's definitely also to. And then you have Mutaris Levnehen, Basiris Levale, and then it's the other way around. They'd be mutter to the Yavamim. The Israelis, once her husband, the Sheni, dies, can certainly marry the Shlishi. A Shlishi is allowed to marry Israelis. Similarly, the Sheni can marry a Shnia, but each one of them was also in her original marriage. And you could have, furthermore, Mutaris La'elu La'elu Gioris, you could have where the women are mutter to both of them, namely if both the Sheni and the Shlishi married Gioris, let's say other Gioris, we're not talking about Gioris Mitzvahs, for example, because then you have the question that Tosfos gets into of whether a Mitzvah Shlishi is allowed to marry a Mitzvah, so is allowed to marry a Mitzvah Gioris. But let's say they married Gioris from other nations, which they're certainly allowed to. So then you have, they'd be mutter to both of them, they'd be mutter to the husband and to the Yavam, and asuras la'elu la'elu ailonis. And as far as the case of where they're also to each other, there you can have, forget about Gavin, there you have a case where Yisraelis is where you have two Ilonis who are one of them or both of them are married to women who are Ilonis. So we are still talking about the case involving the ger. So let's say, for example, that one of the, let's say this Sheni married an Ilonis. So she's also to him because she may be an Ilonis, but she's still a Yisraelis. A Sheni, Mitzri Sheni is not allowed to marry any Bas Yisrael, including an Ilonis. But if she died, then she's also to the Yavam. The Yavam is Mitzri Shlishi and he can marry, but he can't because she's an Ilonis and Yibum doesn't apply to an Ilonis. So if we assume Rav Dimi's din, then you have all four possibilities. And Ilonis is a woman, which discussed in the previous.
She's 20, you don't know she's an Ilonis, so you do it or what?
No, so before she's 20, if she develops Simone Ilonis, we ignore them. Once she develops Simone Ilonis after reaching 20 or close to 20 or whatever, then we consider an Ilonis. But the point is, so let's say.
She got married to her behalf.
It doesn't matter. No. We're talking to Shane. No, the Sheni, the Mitzri Sheni, hold on. The Mitzri Sheni married her, it was also because she's a Bas Yisrael. Forget about is she an Ilonis or not. He has no business marrying a Bas Yisrael. He may not have known yet. That's a different matter. Now, when he dies, then she's also to the brother, not because of the problem of Mitzris, but because of the problem that an Ilonis is not subject to Yibum, and therefore, if you were to marry her, he's marrying his brother's wife. And the brother is a Shlishi, yeah. So if Rav Dimi's din is correct, why is none of this mentioned in the Mishnah? And the answer is, the Gemara says, ton of a shayah. Okay, you could say the Mishnah left out cases. But again, you have the usual question, my shayah to high shayah. What else did it leave out? If the Mishnah only left out one case, then it means the Tana doesn't hold of it. If he leaves out two or more, then you could say, okay, he's not listing every possible case. The answer is, shir psura daka. The answer is the Mishnah also left out the case of a Ptsur Daka, where again, you could have all four possibilities. You could have a case of a Ptsur Daka who marries Yisraelis, which is also to him, which is Mutter to the Yavama. The vice versa, you can have a Kosher marries a Ptsura and he has a brother who's a Ptsur Daka, whereas we learned in the previous paragraph, a Ptsur Daka can do Chalitza or Yibum. He is subject to them because, as Rabbi Akiva said, he had a Shasa Kosher, but he's also true because he's a Ptsur Daka. So then you could have, she's mutter to the husband, but also to the yavam. You could have a true brother's psur daka, which is mutter to both of them. And you could have, if both of them are psur daka, she's also to both of them. And you could have, where if he married a giyoris, if a psur daka marries a giyoris, and he has a brother who's also a psur daka, and she's mutter to both of them. So you could also draw these cases out with psur daka. You could draw out all four of these cases. And yet the Mishnah didn't list it. By the way, Tosfos points out that you wouldn't say that if she's also to her husband, all the more so she's also to her yavam, because Tosfos says such a thing would only apply where there was a change in the woman's status. So, for example, in the first parak of our Masechta, we learned about, let's say, a machzor grushasai, where the first husband remarries her after she was married to somebody else in between, where he's also to do that. And we said that if he dies, his brother does not do yibum with her, because if we make a kabachoyim, if she's also to her husband, how much more so she's also to her yavam. But here we wouldn't say that, because the change of status was in him, that he became a psur daka, not in her. Anyway. So therefore, you see, if it left out psur daka, then it can also leave out these cases involving mitzvah shame. The Gemara says, imishum psur daka laf shiura. That's not considered a valid shiur. You can't say that the Tana could have listed that and left that out. There's a reason the Tana left that out. After all, the Mishnah described chayve lavin and a psur daka as another chayve lav. So he didn't have to list every chayve lav, but the question is, in the case of a mitzvah sheni, we're not talking about a lav, we're talking about an eser. So why did the Mishnah leave it out? If not, then because the Mishnah doesn't hold of it. So that would contradict Rav Dimi. The answer is, when it says, "Altu chayve lavin mi lekatoni v'hoder toni," so what? It says chayve lavin in general, but then it starts listing them out in detail. V'kotoni koyin hadit shenos almona v'cholol shenos ha'ksheira. It does mention some chayve lavin. So therefore, you could say that the Mishnah could have listed more chayve lavin, one of them being psur daka, and it didn't, showing therefore that the Mishnah is not listing every possible case. But the Gemara says no. No, because of the case of the cholo that married a ksheira, there's a chiddush in it that the Mishnah has mentioned it. Lashm inin kid of Yehuda. The Mishnah wants to tell us, like what Rav Yehuda says, kid of Yehuda Amarav, the Amar of Yehuda Amarav, loyhuzru ksheiras li nasil psulim. Women who are kosher have no issue to marry psulim. A koyan is not allowed to marry a chalala, but the flip side is not true. A kohenes can marry a cholo. So our Mishnah wanted to tell us that when she married the cholo, it was completely mutter. So therefore, so the Mishnah mentioned that case to tell us that did not because the Mishnah has some listing cases of lot.
It's listing cases, and it didn't list that case. Right. That case must be not better hold.
Right.
So it does hold.
Like exactly. Yeah. So yeah. So okay. So the Gemara says, so what? V'akatani cholo shenasa ksheira v'yisrael shenasa bas yisrael v'yashlei och mamzer. So what? But the Mishnah goes on to describe a cholo that marries a ksheira, which fine, we can say there's a chiddush in that, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, but it also mentions a Yisrael who married a Bas Yisrael and has another brother who's an, and has another brother who's a mamzer, where there you have, there you're also talking about an Yisur lav. So that you see that the Mishnah is listing Yisur lav. So it's not just summarizing and saying all Yisur lav, it's listing out certain specific ones. So now we can say it could have listed Suadaka as well, and if it didn't, then that would be called Ton of a Shire. But the Gemara says no. Honami lo yihada misni. That's also not just repeating for stamazoi. There's a reason for it. Dashmin and lav she'ena b'shava b'kol, b'kol mashmalon lav ha'shava b'kol. Because the Mishnah wants to tell us about lavim that don't apply equally to all Jewish people, namely ones that are specific to Kohenim. And the Mishnah also wants us to know that the same din applies to lavim that apply to the whole Jewish people, namely Yisroel with a mamzer, or Yisroel with a mamzeres, rather. So you could say that the Mishnah had a specific reason to mention that. So you could say that every one of the lavim the Mishnah is mentioning, there's a specific reason to mention. It doesn't show that the Mishnah is just mentioning lavim, just samazoi. So now we're back to then in that case, then the fact that it didn't mention suadaka would be because there's no chiddush in it. Once we know that it applies to lavim, then of course it applies to that one as well. Now, if it left out the Yisur Esa, there must be a reason for it, namely that the Tana doesn't hold of it. So the Gemara says, fine, but still, Hokatani Yisrael Shemnasim Amzeres, V'yesh Le'och Yisrael, still, the Mishnah gives two different cases. A Yisrael who married a Mamzeres and has a brother, a regular Yisrael, and a Mamzer who married a Mamzeres who has a brother who's Yisrael. We didn't need to repeat both of those. Once we know that we're talking about in that this is the dinim of our Mishnah also apply to a Lava Shava Makol, then it means it would apply to those as well. It didn't need to list every one of them, and yet it listed every one of them. Ela Lav Shmamin Aton of Ashayah. So therefore, So it shows that the Mishnah is leaving out things. So yes, as long as the Mishnah is listing Yisurei Lavin, and it's even listing Yisurei Lavin, where there's no Chiddush in them, once we establish that it applied to Lava Shava B'Kol, then it didn't need to list every possible case with a Mamzer, and yet it does, then therefore we could say that the Mishnah, by the same token, could have mentioned Suadaka and didn't, and therefore, and obviously we know that the din applies to Suadaka. Therefore, we can say by the same token, the Mishnah could have mentioned the case of the Mitzri Sheni and Mitzri Shlishi, and it didn't, not because it doesn't hold of it, but because of Tana V'Shaya. So Shmamina, so that proves it. So we can't say that the Mishnah contradicts Rav Din. Okay, to be continued tomorrow, Beis Hashem.